Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erevin. All right, we're already up to noon press. Okay, we're back on Nun Zayin. My confusion, my pause in the beginning is because we're behind. So let's try to make up some ground today. Over the course of today, we have two big topics that we're going to be covering. The first one, we're going to finish up the discussion of the Karfuf, which we really just barely started yesterday. So we're going to get through that discussion today, and God willing, today also, we're going to get a go through a good amount of Medida, of the actual process of measuring. How do we measure the Tchum? But first things first, we're going to start off with a discussion of Karfuf. Karfuf over here, as I mentioned yesterday on Shabbos, is not the same discussion of Karfuf that we had earlier in the Masechta. Early in the Masechta, we had four consecutive days of Daf Yomi, where we talked about Karfuf, but Karfuf in the context of an enclosed area that's non-residential, and the Chachamim prohibited carrying in such an area. Okay, they gave it a karmas-like status, and therefore you're not allowed to carry in such a enclosed area because it's too big. What does too big mean? It means it's greater than 5,000 square amas. Okay, that's karfuf that we talked about early in the Masechta, but now we're not talking about that. Now we're basically talking about karfuf as like kind of like an easement to a city. In other words, every city has got like a little easement along right outside it, and not just every city. I mean, every community has an easement outside of it, which basically says you can't build here because we need it for the city. So basically, every city's got a karfuf. That's clear. And the length of the karfuf is also pretty clear, meaning what is the length of a karfuf? So as we pointed out yesterday, the reason why we're calling an easement a karfuf is because we're taking the 5,000 square amma, and we're taking the square root of it. The square root of 5,000 is approximately 70 and two-thirds. So when we say karfuf over here, we mean 70 and two-thirds amma. It's not a lot. It's 140 feet, approximately. So, but anyway, outside of every city, you have a karfuf. That's clear. Here's the part that's not clear, and it's subject to a machlokas, and we're going to start the machlokas right now. What's not clear is, well, what do we do with that karfuf? Meaning, where exactly do we go with this karfuf? So let's start with the Mishnah. Rana and Zayin Amadalf, we're going to start the Mishnah again. Nosin karfuf li or divrei Rebbe Meir. So according to Rebbe Meir, every city gets a karfuf, period. So in other words, when you walk outside the city, you could take approximately 70 steps, and you're not on the count. You're not on the tchum counter. Your tchum counter allows you to walk 2,000 amas outside the city. So according to Rav Meir, it doesn't start until 70 amas after the city, after you walk outside the city. So basically, according to Rav Meir, this easement, this karfuf that's given to every city, is basically just part of the city. It becomes now an extension of the city. So even though I've left the walls of the city and the perimeter of the city, nevertheless, there's another 70 amas that I can go, and then, and only then, am I going to be on the count, on the tchum counter. That is the shita of Rabbi Meir. So chachamim omrim lo amru karfuf, ela bin she'ayaros. No, you missed the boat, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Meir. That's not what the Karfuf does. The Karfuf doesn't extend the city outward, but rather what the Karfuf does, and the only thing the Karfuf does, is it unites two cities. I have two cities within proximity of one another. How close are they to one another? They're a Karfuf away from one another. Now, if you listen carefully to me, I said a Karfuf away. So does that mean one Karfuf? Does that mean two Karfufs away from one another? Wait for the Gemara. The Gemara is going to debate that very issue. But in other words, right now, for simplicity's sake, they're a karfuf away from one another. So then we can look at the two cities as one united city. I mentioned yesterday and yesterday's daf, what's the advantage of saying that? The advantage is very simple. Once we have one united city, so now let's say I live on east side. Okay, east side of this twin city. So if I live on the east side of the twin city, so we, as we already discussed in the day one of our discussion of Tchomim, a city is considered dal amos. It's considered like, basically, you're in your four amos. So therefore, you can walk from one end of the city to the other end of the city, and you have not yet started your tchum counter. And if the twin city next to you, meaning you're on the east side and you're walking all the way to the west side, and you're walking to the western city, as long as they're within a karfuf one another, you're still within the same united city. And so therefore, the tchum counter hasn't started. It's not until you leave the western side of the western part of the city, then and only then does your tchum count. Good. So in other words, the idea of karfuf is that I have two cities that are proximate to one another. They could be viewed as twin cities. We have many of those examples in America. But they could be viewed as twin cities, which is really one united city, as long as the distance between them is a karfuf. So the cities can be united and can become one. V'chein.
Rabbi Meir doesn't disagree with that.
Though. No, I think you're right.
He will extend even the second city another
time. I think you're right. I don't know. I don't think he will disagree. West. But Rabbi Meir goes even one step further. Rabbi Meir goes
to the Holy Land.
Right, correct. V'chein gemo kfarim ha-mishulashim im yeshnaim chitzanim ha-varbam va'achas u'shlish osa emtsai eshloshtam li'osachat. And not only does this work for twin cities, but this would work for a tripling city as well. If I have city, A, B, and C, all contiguous to one another, not totally contiguous, but in other words, with little gaps in between, as long as the little gaps don't exceed 141 and a third, the magic number 141 and a third, what's that number? That's just simply 72 thirds doubled. As long as it's not greater than 141 and a third, you're fine. You will have no problem going from city A to city B to city C, and you have not left the city yet. Meaning all three cities have now become one, and now you have not left the city. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask the question, if I can unite two cities, of course I can unite three cities, as long as they're all within proximity of one another. What's the chiddush of this point, where now instead of uniting two cities, we're uniting three cities? So I'm foreshadowing the Gemara coming up later. If you want to take a look on the, behind me on the board, you can already see a key, a hint into how this is going to, what the chiddush of the Mishnah is. Minahani milu. But first we start off with the Gemara. And the Gemara wants to know, first of all, Menahani Mila, where do we know this from? Now, the Menahani Mila of the Gemara over here is asking according to, seems like it's going according to Rav Meir. Meaning, Rav Meir says that every city's got a little bit more than just the actual outside of the city. There's more to it than that. So the Gemara says, we know it from, we go back once again to the 35th parak of Bamidbar, which is what we spent all of day yesterday talking about, the Ari Levim. The Pasuk says, Amakra Mikir Ha'ir Vichutza, from the city and outside the city. So in other words, the Gemara goes on to explain, Amar Torah, Tein Chutza V'achar Kach Medod. In other words, there's some exterior to the city, and after this exterior Medod, then you measure. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, this Pasuk has nothing to do with Tchum, it has to do with the lay of an Ari Levim. So, and also, there's no indication that's possible how much of an exterior you give to the city. So I think I'm safe to say that this is an asmachta, and it's not a real gzer sakasov. Okay, and you'll see a lot of that today. We're going to hit on another asmachta today as well. Meaning, it's not the real derivative source of the halacha, but rather it's a din derabbanan, which gets its source from the Torah. And also over here, if I can spend one more moment defending my asmachta thesis, the Chachamim disagree. So, in other words, hard to imagine that this is a real gzeres hakasuv, and then the Chachamim say, no, we don't agree. So, again, I'm suggesting that it's an asmachta. Yeah, it could even be right. The Chachamim omrim lo amru. Okay, now we get to a basic discussion, which I already quickly mentioned the Mishnah, but now let's do it. And that's the following. The Chachamim also believe in the 70 and two-thirds, but not as an extension of a city. In other words, the city ends when the city ends. You're on the Tchum counter the moment you step foot outside the city. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. This idea of Karfaf, it says that if I have two cities within proximity of one another, we could unite the two cities. As long as it's a Karfaf distance between the two cities. Which now prompts the Gemara to ask a very simple question. One Karfaf?
70.
Two Karfafs. 70 and two-thirds between each city? Or 141 and a third between the two cities? When exactly are we uniting the cities? The Gemara brings down, this is a machlokas. Idmar Rav Huna Amar Nosin Karfaf Lazu V'Karfaf Lazu. So the shita number one is the shita of Rav Huna, which is two Karfafs. Each one gets their own Karfaf for the purposes of unification. So therefore, it's 70 and two-thirds times two. It's 141 and a third. sorry. Rav Chia Barav Amar Karfaf Echad Lishtayim. And then the sheet of Chia Bar Rav is no, one Karfaf, only 72 thirds. Now, okay. Now, please keep in mind, by the way, this is a Machlok Samarayim within the sheet of the Chachamim. Okay, so we're just discussing within Chachamim. Tanan Chachamim Amrim Lo Amr Karfaf Ela Bein Bezar Ayaras. Tiyufta de Rav Huna. So, first we're going to look at the Mishnah and try to analyze the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Karfaf el, I'm sorry, lo amru karfaf. Karfaf over here is used in the singular. We only apply the karfaf principle. Well, I already gave away the answer. I shouldn't have done that. We only apply the karfaf between two cities. So it sounds like one karfaf between two cities. So amlecha ravuna, my karfaf, Torah's karfaf. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah doesn't say, it doesn't mean to say, and we give a karfaf. It means we apply the karfaf principle. Okay. Right? In other words, Torah's karfaf. The laws of karfaf are between the two cities, but in terms of the actual measurement, each one gets its own karfaf. Ola olam karfaf lezu, for karfaf lezu. Hachinam imestabra. In fact, the Gemara says, if you read on in the Mishnah, this really seems to be the correct shot in the Mishnah. Why? Midikani sefa, because if you read on the Mishnah goes on to say, imesh lezu ayin ama vishirayim, ulezu ayin ama vishirayim, osa karfaf lishtayim, lios echad. Okay, so it actually is a really simple read where the Mishnah kind of spells out that each one is getting a karfaf measurement for the purpose of unification.
If the purpose of a karfaf is to enjoin two cities together, right, why do they need to have their own karfaf? They should be just one karfaf that enjoins two cities.
Right, but again, the karfaf over here is just a term to describe to a measurement. Meaning, it's not like
I understand, but it's just the principle behind it.
Right. I'm the first one to admit. I hear you. I totally hear your point. I'm the first one to admit I don't understand the principle. Meaning, the principle is basically, it's not an extension of a city. I mean, that's Rav Meir's viewpoint. Rav Meir says that every city gets extended. It's not really true. Meaning, according to the Chacham, I mean, it's not true. When the Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir, once you walk out one side of the city, let's say the non-paired side. That's it. You're on the count. No city got extended. It just happens to be that once I have two cities that are like close to each other, like almost like magnetically they get pulled together. And we're basically describing now how much attraction do I need? Well, like in other words, how far away from one another until we say there's magnetic pull that kind of lumps them together.
Does as the city grows, does the karpuff move?
Well, yeah. In other words, if you're going to extend the city, so then this karpuff
is where you have two.
In fact, we're going to talk later this morning, what if the city shrinks? Oh. Meaning the karfaf is basically going to recede to where the city shrinks, presumably. We're going to come to a little bit later on this morning.
You're saying basically that the karfaf is part of the city.
Yeah, but you can't say, I understand that, but you really can't say that simply, because if it was part of the city, so then that would be true. Around the entire perimeter.
Right, like Rav Meir.
Okay, fine. Okay, good. But in other words, we're done with Rav Meir, meaning the Gemara brought up Rav Meir, but we're, as I pointed out, we're right now exclusively discussing the Shita of the Chachamim in terms of how much magnetic pull are we talking about. Okay. It's so clear from the Mishnah that each city gets its own 72/3 Amma, the Gemara now wants to know, Chiyar Barav, what are you going to do with our Mishnah? And the last two lines of the Gemara, Shema Minah Le'metav Tiyufta Dichia Barav. So how is he going to learn the Mishnah? Amlecha Chia Barav Hamani Rabbi Meiri. So Chia Barav tries to sidestep the issue and says, you know, when the Mishnah got to that point and the Mishnah started describing Karfaf Shivim Amma Vishirayim Lazu Vishivim Amma Vishirayim Lazu, that took us back to the sheet of Reb Meir, which is true. Meaning, according to Rav Meir, every city gets 72/3 because every city gets this extension on every side. The Gemara says that is true, but that's a hard way to read the Mishnah. E Rabbi Meir, he ha tani le resha nosin karfaf leir divrei Rabbi Meir. So then it comes out very strange, because then what our Mishnah is basically doing structurally is starting off with Shita Rav Meir, then moving to the Chachamim, then backtracking to the Shita of Meir. It's choppy. It's a very choppy Mishnah, and the Gemara just wonders, like, what would the need be? And furthermore, not only is it choppy, but in addition to that, it's unnecessary. Meaning, I get it. According to Rav Meir, every city gets a karpaf on every side. So what are we adding over here at this next juncture of the Mishnah? Even if you want to tell me that it's Shita's Rav Meir, but what are you adding over here? Don't we know that according to Rav Meir? So it's Tzricha. The Gemara says, not necessarily, because the Imi Ayav Amina Chad L'Chada V'Chad L'Tarte Kamash Milan D'Latarte Trey Yavin Alei. So the Gemara says, look, I might have thought one karfa for one city, one karfa for two cities, but not necessarily two karfas for two cities. Meaning that if I have two cities that are near one another, right, 141 and a third within one another, and now I'm going to give a karfa for this city, a karfa for that city, as a hava mina. Just as a hava mina, I might have thought that Rav Meir will not give a double karfa for both cities, but perhaps only one karfa when the cities are next to one another. Okay, hard to understand what the hava mina actually is, what it's going to be based on, but the Gemara says that's what I might have thought according to Rav Meir, and that's why the Mishnah is making its additional point according to Rav Meir. Okay. The And look, and when the cities are next to one another, there's obviously going to be traffic between the two cities, meaning twin cities at the point of their joining, right? There obviously is going to be people walking back and forth. So there, I can easily view that as an extension of the city. But on the side of the city where there's not a lot of traffic, so I might have thought that there should be no extension of the city. Tzricha, that's why, even after knowing where they join, I'm going to give a karfa for each one. Even when there is no connection, I'm still going to give a karfa for each one. And that would be the chiddush according to Rabbi Meir. Okay, so now again, let's reset ourselves. We are now in the discussion of how many karfas are we going to give in order to join a city. So two cities are near one another, right next to one another, and we have this idea of karfafs. We know that if the cities are within 70 and two-thirds of one another, the two cities get unified and become one city. Well, what if they are, let's say, 100 amas apart from one another, 130, up to 141 amas apart from one another? Do we then join the two together? So that's subject to a machlokus between Rav Huna and Chiyar Bar Rav. Rav Huna says that each city gets its own karfaf, so therefore they're joined even if it's up to 141 and a third. And Chiyar Bar Rav says no, only one karfaf between the two. Tanan, we go back to our Mishnah and we try to get clarification on this issue from the last case of the Mishnah, which is the three cities. Shlosha kfarma mishulashim imyesh bein shnayim achitona mea v'arba'im v'achas ama v'shlish osa emtsai eshosham lios echad. If the distance is 141 and a third, we get to view all three of them as one united city. Taimadika emsai, halakim sailo, tiyufta de Rav Huna. Now it's interesting, we are allowing a gap of 141, but that's only because there's a middle city. Had there not been a middle city, we would have not allowed such a great gap. It sounds like from our Mishnah, the halakh is not like Rav Huna. Amalacha Rav Huna, Hayit Marla, Amar Rav Idi, Amar Rav Chanina, Lo Mishulash and Mamish. So Rav Huna says, first of all, let me do two things. I will A, defend my position, and B, explain to you what you didn't understand about this Mishnah. This Mishnah over here, when it got to the case of the three cities, was not talking about where they were in a row. In other words, that's not the point of the Mishnah, as I pointed out in the Mishnah. If that were the point of the Mishnah, I mean, what's the chiddush? The Mishnah over here is advancing a very big chiddush, and that's the following. These cities over here are three cities, but they're not in a row. In fact, they make a triangular formation. Okay, you take a look at the board over there where I drew the three cities in that triangular formation. And now, basically, what we're going to say is the following. I'm drawing parallel lines, even though my lines are not perfect, but I'm drawing parallel lines so that I'm not moving the city, but if I were to move the city and move it directly between the two, and the distance between here and here, and here and here, does not exceed 141 and a third, then we're going to basically say all these three become now united cities. Now I'm going to give away some of the Gemara coming up, as long as I'm standing, and that is the following. The distance between here and here cannot be greater than 2,000 amas. Once the distance between here and here is greater than 2,000 amas, this city no longer has access to this city. This city obviously will no longer have access to this city. And so therefore we cannot treat the three as one. This halacha only will work if the distance between here and here and the distance between here and here is within 2,000 amas and the distance of the gaps is less than 141, then halachically what we're now able to do is look at the city as if we're going to pull it, put it right between the two, and then we're going to have three contiguous cities.
What about the distance between the top two cities?
Now, so the Gemara is going to point out that it don't matter. Meaning because this is a uniform. This is a binder. This city is going to bind these two cities together. But it's only going to work if A, the distance between here and here is less than 2,000, and B, the gaps are less than 141.
Combined.
So the Gemara says, so Rav Huna says, that's the point of the Mishnah. Now that that's the point of the Mishnah, so Rav Huna says, now you have nothing against me, because the Mishnah at this juncture is teaching us a major chiddush, and in no way can translate to a very simple case where I have two cities next to one another. Where there, of course you're allowed a gap of 141 and a third. Let's see all this inside. So Amar Rav Chanina, Mishulashim Mamish. They are not Mishulashim, but Re'ela. Ron Kol She'ei Ilu Matalam Tzai B'neim V'yu Mishulashim. V'ein Bein Zela Ze'ela Kuf Me'mam V'achas V'shlish Asei Em Tzai Eshlosh Tam Lios Echad. That middle city is able to unify them all as one. So Amar Rav Labai Kami Hei Ben Chitza Lem Tzai. The Gemara here asked the question which I already let you in on. What's the distance between the outer city and the middle city? Amalei Alpai Mama, 2,000 Amas. Okay. Now, the so far so good. So we have now what is a very interesting halacha, this idea of sliding a city. So under these very guidelines, one is allowed to slide that middle city right between the two outer cities. But again, gaps cannot exceed more than 141, and the distance between the two outer cities and the inner city is less than 2,000 amos.
What about a carpet?
Now, this looks... Give me 1 second. This configuration, you need just a little bit of imagination, but not really a lot, almost looks like what? It almost looks like a rainbow.
Right.
It almost looks like a horseshoe.
Right.
In fact, the Gemara, just a short couple days ago, discussed this very case of the horseshoe. Now, remember, we talked about filling in the gap. What do we say, obviously, with the... We're not going to call it a horseshoe, but we'll call it a bow. That's what the Gemara referred to it as, a keshes. And we said that the bow and the string of the bow could be viewed as all of it's filled in. But do you remember what we said? We said two things regarding this scenario. We said, number one, that the distance between here and here has to be less than 4,000 amas. We also said the distance between here and here, now there was a thought process that the distance between here and here has to be 2,000 amas, but you remember we ended up saying, we ended up saying the distance between here and here can be as great as you want. Right? There is no limit between here and here. And the reason why, as Ben remembers correctly, is because, look, I can access any part of the inside of this rainbow, of this bow. I can, in other words, if I'm standing here and I want to get to this point over here, not a problem. I can walk around and I can access it from this end. So anyway, so basically now what the Gemara is going to do is look at these two configurations and note, you know, it's a little bit strange. In this configuration, this city can't be 2,000 amas apart. In this configuration, this could be as far away from here as it possibly could.
There's a big difference.
Understood. Again, I'm teeing it up. Okay, you. So you want to hit it? That's great. But I'm just I'm teeing up the Gemara. Okay, and furthermore, what also did we say that the distance between here and here can be as big as you want? All that matters is how wide the city is going to be. Meanwhile, the distance between here and here can't exceed 4,000 amas. Okay, so those are if, and I know it's a huge if. But if we kind of look at these two as the same, so why is it that here and here can only be 2,000, not greater? Here and here can be as much as you want. That's the vertical measurement. And as far as the horizontal is concerned, this city from this city can be as far away as they want, whereas this end and from this end can only be no more than 4,000 amas. That's basically going to be the two Gemara's questions, as Ben pointed out, and the Gemara is going to say it. Big difference between these two cases. But just so you understand where the Gemara is coming from, that was the thinking going into this discussion. Let's see all this inside in the Gemara. Vahu Huda Mar Kavase Rav Huna Mr. Abadami Yosem Alpayim Ama. So first of all, we're asking now in the vertical, right? On the up down. So on the up down, what's on the bow? So what's the maximum? There is no maximum. It can be as much as you want. Meanwhile, in the case of the three cities, there can only be 2,000 amos on the vertical. Hachi hashta, the Gemara says, they're not comparable. Hasamik abatim, hachalak abatim. Good. Okay, so now we teed it up, we're now going to hit it. So now in terms of the bowl is concerned, you have houses running up and down, meaning from the bottom of the bowl all the way to the top, to the ends of the bowl, you got houses. So there's no break. There, in the case of the three cities, you have no houses, so you're going to be limited to tchum. Now we're going on the horizontal. Is there any limit for the horizontal? I'm now on the triangular cities. Is there any limit on the horizontal? Of course not. Meaning as long as, if I were to put that middle city in between the two outer cities, so then you're fine. It could be that the distance between city A and city C, it could be more than 4,000 amas, it don't matter. Because that middle city is going to really serve as a binder. So the Gemara says, okay, so if the distance between city A and city C can exceed 4,000 amas, why is it that the two ends of the bow can't exceed 4,000 amas? So again, we're teeing it up. The Gemara is going to point out, they're really, these cases are really different. The Gemara says again, that's different. Because look, in the case of the bow, if the distance between the two ends of the bow are greater than 4,000 amas, so then they're not connected. Nothing's connecting them. In the case of the three cities, as long as when I slide the city up and the gaps between them is less than 141 and a third, so city A and city C are connected. That center city is connecting the two outer cities. So therefore, there is not going to be any requirement, any maximum length between city A and city C, as city B is providing, filling in the middle. Good. All right, so in other words, again, it was an attempt to compare these two cases, and the Gemara notes that these two cases are really just different than one another, not to be compared. Amle Rav Safa L'Rava Hare B'nei Akistapon D'Mashchina Lehu Tchuma Ma'agisa D'Ardashir U'V'nei D'Ardashir Mashchina Lehu Tchuma Ma'agisa D'Akistapon. Okay, and now the Gemara is bothered by the following question. We have two cities, twin cities, out in Bavo. They're on two sides of the Tigris. Cities I've never heard of, cities that I'm gonna take a stab at this. I'm gonna say the only times these cities are mentioned in Shas, although I'm sure I'm wrong. But in other words, certainly I'm right about the fact that these are rarefied cities. But here's the problem: one of the cities is on one side of the Tigris, and the other city is on the other side of the Tigris, and somehow we consider them to be joint, unified cities. And the problem is, the Gemara spells it out, Ha'ika diglas demipaska yeser mi mea va'arben va'achas v'shlish. Now, first of all, the Gemara assumes that the halacha is like Rav Huna. Meaning, without saying so, the Gemara says that we are allowing a 141 amma distance between the two to unify the two cities. So, I mean, the Gemara just, in telling over this incident, is basically also telling us the halacha is like Rav Huna.
So the difference of talking about is like, could be like this with water running
between. Yeah, in other words, there's water in between. So, and we don't even care about the water. The water's not the issue. The issue is the distance, meaning the diglas takes up more than 141 amas. So in other words, how can we view these two cities as two unified cities when the distance between them is greater than 141? Okay, so that's a good question. It's an extraordinarily good question. So nafak, so now we really need a visual over here, and no picture book is going to help us over here. We need to go out. We need a field trip. Thai rack. All right, picture will do. But anyway, what happened is, says the Gemara, the achvele hanach atmasa deshura Dimevli'i bediglas ba'ayin ama v'shirayim. So the Gemara says there are remnants, right? Shoulders of a wall. Shura's a wall. Shoulders of a wall that was swallowed by the Tigris which are within 70 amas of one another. Meaning, even though the cities go up to the Tigris River, actually, historically, there was a point in time where the cities actually went into the bank of the river. And maybe, and this is just me guessing, the river swelled. Maybe the river grew. But in other words, but the cities, each one of them actually had walls going into the Tigris. So, if you look at the original borders of each city, you will see they're within 141 amas of one another, and that's why the cities can be viewed as joint cities, and there were actually physical remnants of the wall. Now, it's interesting, because I'm sure we could discuss for some time, in other words, how can we, even though the remnants of the city, is that still considered part of the city? I mean, the Gemara over here is assuming, yes, it is, even though, you know, at first glance, they're not even noticeable. So, but anyway, okay, that's the Gemara's response to the question of how can we view these two cities as one. Okay, good. That's part one of today's daf, and now we begin with part two of today's daf, and that's going to be the actual process of measuring. We now know outside the city can only walk 2,000 amas. So what they did is, so that people won't have to start counting their steps, I remember we said earlier that basically a step is an amma. Right? One normal step is going to be an amma. So, but in other words, so that everyone doesn't have to start measuring once they start walking outside the city. So they had surveyors and they had measurers. And the measures would go and start measuring tchum. So, and then they would put up signs at the edge of every town saying tchum ends here. Okay? Don't walk past here on Shabbos and Yontif. And that would be true for north, east, south, and west. In other words, they would do that all the way around. And now we're talking about a process of measuring. So the Mishnah over here is going to go into very specific detail in terms of how to measure the process of measuring. Okay, the first halacha, interesting in of itself, is that when you measure, you don't take a rope that's 2,000 amas. Right? One could have argued that's the easiest way to do it and just simply measure, but no. We're going to take a rope that's 50 amas and we're going to use it 40 times over and we're going to measure in that way. Why does it have to be that way? So we'll get to the Gemara. We'll discuss a little bit. But first, let's see the Mishnah. It's got to be exactly 50 amas, not more, not less. Now, two people are going to be holding the rope. In other words, I need two people surveying. So what's going to happen now is we want to hold the rope so that the rope is on a horizontal plane with no incline whatsoever. So, as a set point, it's a good point. As a set point, so what we're going to do is everyone's going to hold it up to their chest, assuming that the two people measuring are going to be of equal height. That'd be helpful for the purposes of maintaining a horizontal line. So now let's say you get to a valley or you get to some sort of mound, right? Literally a wall. But you get some sort of mound. In other words, now you have to go up an incline or down an incline. Okay, I'd rather not, meaning, I'd rather keep the measurement level. I'd rather be 2,000 amas as the crow flies. Once I subject myself to the inclines of any terrain, so I'm going to lose 2,000 amas. Mm-hmm. Right? If I have to follow all the ridges. Essentially, the point the Mishnah is going to make in a number of different ways is that I don't have to follow the terrain. I can go on a straight line. So for example, as a simple example, let's say it's a very narrow ravine. Mm-hmm. And let's say now the 50 amma rope can just simply go right over the ravine. The Mishnah says, perfect, good, let's do it. So you can just basically now have one person standing on one side of the ravine and the other person standing on the other side. And the amma rope is going to go right over the ravine and perfect. No problem. You don't have to follow the terrain. V'lo yimdod el keneged libo, I'm sorry, I read that already. Hayamod v'gil l'gay l'gedem avliya v'chozer l'midaso. And your chozer l'midaso, now Rashi spends a lot of time describing the language of chozer l'midaso. You resume measuring, what does that mean, resume measuring? So stay tuned, the Gemara later on was going to discuss what exactly the Mishnah is trying to teach us by saying you resume measuring. Okay, we'll come back to that. Higil l'harm avliya v'chozer l'midaso. You get to a mountain, same story. You don't have to follow the terrain of the mountain. You could just simply run past the mountain. Now with a ravine, it's easier to visualize how we're going to do it. One person standing on one side, one person standing on the other side. With a mountain, it takes a little more creativity in terms of visualizing. I guess maybe one person can hold the string up. Agreed. Now, the only thing is you can't go outside of Tchum, meaning Anytime you want to try to circumvent a hill or a ravine, so you can even go a little bit out of line, right? I mean this here literally, right? You can go a little bit out of line, but you can't go so far out of line that you're now outside of Tchum. Meaning, let's say you need to go westbound, meaning you're measuring the northern Tchum, and it requires you to go westbound or eastbound. You can go as westbound or eastbound as you want to measure that northern line, but you can't go outside the western Tchum, you can't go outside the eastern Tchum in order to try to bypass a ravine or a mountain. Okay, we'll spend more time later talking about this idea. Now, let's say just too big a mountain. It's too big, or it's too steep, or the ravine is too wide. So now what? So the Gemara says, on this, I heard we could do a maneuver. It's as almost as if the Mishnah is saying, I'm not so sure about this, but I heard we could do the following. So, Shamati, I heard Shemekadrim Baharim, that one can pierce the mountain. Now, the Mishnah does not mean this literally, as Rashi explains. Piercing the mountain does not mean that we're actually going to drill a hole through the mountain. You don't need to do that in order to just get a straight line for your Tchum measurement. But as Rashi explains, what this means is that basically, what we're going to do is, we're going to measure, not around the mountain, and not over the mountain, but through the mountain. Now again, not without actually drilling a hole through the mountain, but basically what's going to happen is as follows, Rashi describes, is that let's say it's a steep incline of the mountain, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold the rope up to my heart. The person standing above me is going to hold the rope by his feet. And we're going to do this with 4 amma ropes, even though we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, I need a 50 amma rope, but for this maneuvering of drilling a hole through the mountain, we're going to use 4 amas ropes, and obviously we're just going to keep going where 4 amas along the horizontal plane, and with every 4 amas, obviously, we basically are crunching down half the height of a human being. Okay? So, and I understand, by the way, it's not super scientific in the sense that it really depends on the incline, meaning the steeper the incline, the more you're going to have to accommodate for that steep incline. But in other words, the basic idea is that we could do this type of maneuvering. Okay. We'll come back. We'll discuss this point also as well later on in the Gemara. We start with the Gemara. We're on the top of Nun Ches Amad Aleph. Today's daf is Nun Ches Minahani Mili. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav, Dam Akra. Orecha Chatzer Mea Ba'amav Rochev Chamishim Ba'chamishim. So the first question the Gemara wants to know is, how do I know that I measure with a 50 amma measuring stick? Now, I say the word stick, by the way. You'll see I'm going to backtrack on that later on. But how do I know it has to be 50 ammas in measurement? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. Now, I hope everyone realizes we're taking the Pasuk way out of context, because the Pasuk over here is describing the parameters of the courtyard of the Mishkan, which is 50 by 100. And so the Gemara is over here saying that you know why the Torah describes it as 50. And if you look carefully at the Pasuk, you will see the Pasuk says, Chamishim ba-chamishim, 50 by 50. It's an allusion to the idea that when I measure with Tchum, I'm measuring with a stick of 50. Again, let me say what I said earlier this morning. Smachta, meaning again, we're measuring Tchum on Shabbos, which in and of itself is a din d'rabbanan. We're saying that the measuring stick has to be 50 amas. And we're using this pasuk, which has nothing to do with Tchum. So I'll say it over here with a level of confidence, not absolutely sure that I'm right, but it's an asmachta, right? It would seem to be. Amar Torah bechavasha chamishim amma medod. Haimi ba'ilei litur chamishim lesavim chamishim. The Gemara points out, didn't you already use this pasuk earlier, describing how we're going to get to the square measurement of the 72 thirds by 72 thirds. For those of us who remember, we were talking about the karfaf earlier. The question was, the karfaf, does it have to be square? Can it be rectangular in measurement? And one of the psukim that we quote is this pasuk over here. Do you remember what we did? It was a complex issue. We took 50 amos away from the 50 by 100. We cut it out and we basically pasted it around the 50 in order to create a square. Okay. If you remember, great. If not, that's also fine. For our purposes, im kein lemakra, chamishim, chamishim, my chamishim, ba chamishim, shema min atarte, the extra base arrives us to the conclusion of this additional halacha, that when I measure tchum, I measure with a 50 amma string. Lo pachos v'lo yoser. Tana lo pachos mimnei shemarbe, v'lo yoser mimnei shemamayit. So counterintuitive, but Rashi explains this beautifully. If I use a string less than 50 amas, I'm going to arrive at a longer measurement. Mm-hmm. I'm going to overestimate. Why? So Rashi says, because once I'm using a string that's less than 50, we're going to be able to hold the string really taut. Mm-hmm. And what's going to end up happening is that we're going to max and overestimate and overinflate what the actual 2,000 measurement is. And if I use a string that's greater than 50 amas, explains Rashi, so then the string is going to sag. And then I'm going to underestimate the 2,000 amas. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara over here. Amar Rav Asi emo d'din ela b'chevel shel apaskima. The material that this rope should be, in other words, we don't want a rope that's elastic. Right? So in other words, we want a rope that measures at a very constant rate. So the material should be apaskima. You know what would be very helpful right now? Very helpful. If we knew what that material actually was. Maya paskima, amarabi abba nargila. Okay? Not to be confused with what is commonly in Israel referred to as that. So my nargila, amarav Yaakov dikla, dechad navra. And the Gemara describes it as some sort of bast of a palm tree. Okay, I'm not totally clear, if I can admit, on what this material actually is. Igadamri Maya Paskima, Rabbi Abba Amar Nagila, Rabbi Yaakov Amar Tikla Dechad Navra. Now, according to this version of the Gemara, we're not defining what Nargila is. Nargila is something else, whatever that may be, but there's actually a debate in terms of what material should be used. Either way, the basic idea is a material that's not elastic. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya Lecha, Shiafala Medida Yosef Mishashol Shabarzel. He says, if I can imagine, a very interesting line of the Gemara, I would tell you that an iron chain is the best thing to use. I mean, think about it. Meaning, you pull it tight, there's no elasticity. So in other words, that would be, I would seem to me, not me, I'm not talking, right, Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, it would seem to me that that should be the best implement to measure these 50 amas. On the other hand, however, the Torah describes, Torah over here meaning Navi, Zechariah describes, that it needs to be chevel, it needs to be a rope. So logically, iron chains would make sense, but maybe, I don't know, but the Pasuk says otherwise, so we follow the Pasuk, contrary to our logic. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in Yecheskel, he's using a stick, not a rope. So, hahu l'tarai. So the Gemara says that was for the gate. That wasn't for actual measurement. Anytime we use measurement, it has to be a rope-type substance. Today, Rav Yosef teaches the following Shosha Chavalim Heim. Three ropes are used in instances of measuring. Shal Magag, Shal Netzer, and Shal Pishtan. Okay. And these three ropes are made up of Magag, Netzer, and Pishtan. I'm two for three. I can tell you what two of the three are. Magag, it's some organic material. Could you help me out over there? Reed grass. Okay. I know what the basic point is because I looked at Rashi. The basic point of the Magag is it's organic, it's not Mekabel Tumah. Okay, and you'll see why we need that. Shel Magag LaParo, when used for the Paraduma. So I want to use the Magag because everything for the Paraduma is done by Tahara. Right? In other words, we go out of our way. Remember the beginning of Yuma? If not, it's fine. We're going to get to the beginning of Yuma. Oh, and by the way, second parak of Sukkah. Right? I just had a memory light bulb. Second parak of Sukkah also, we're going to discuss this. How everything by the Paraduma is done by Tahara. And oh, by the way, the Bishnai is in Para. That would also be a good place to go. But in other words, the rope, so to say, that we use for measuring and for tying is going to be an organic non-mikabel toma material. Dinan kaftua bechevel magag. Menasnu agav marachta shel netzar. I'm sorry, agav marachta. Period. Next. Shel netzarim lesota. Now, in terms of the netzarim, that's the fronds of the palm. So that we use for the sota. Dinan v'achakach mevichevel amitzri v'kashru lamala me'dadeha. Okay, for the sota, they tied her up because they're going to end up tearing her clothing, so they don't want it to be totally exposed, so they would tie up some of her clothing, and they would use the tzarim. And finally, shel pishtan l'medida. And as far as measuring is concerned, they would use pishtan, they would use flax. Which seems to run contrary to what we mentioned a couple minutes ago Earlier in the Gemara, we were talking about using the Nargila, the Apaskima. It seems to be that this is now a divergent position in terms of what material should be used. It sounds like we're using flax over here. Okay, let me do a little bit more. And no, you know what? I take it back. We'll stop here. Okay, we're at a good stopping point. Okay, we are into two big topics that we covered today. The first big topic was Karfaf, right? Easements of a city, but that's an inaccurate definition of what a Karfaf is. A Karfaf is essentially how close can two cities be together in order to view them as one city. According to the Chachamim, that's the definition of a Karfaf. And there's a machlokus in the Gemara between Amoraim. The halacha falls like Rav Huna. As long as the distance between the two cities is less than 141 and a third amma, so then we could view the two cities as one city, and so therefore on Shabbos and on Yontif, I can carry between the two cities, and I haven't even started the tchum count yet. The other big issue we did today was, before that, then we had also a long discussion today about the three cities and the chiddush of our Mishnah about sliding the middle city in between the two cities. We talked about that. We compared that case to the case of the bow, the city shaped like a bow, and noted the obvious differences between the city. The sliding is absolutely accepted. And then finally, the last thing we did today, which we are going to continue tomorrow, is the process of measuring. How exactly do we measure with a rope, 50 amos? And then we talked about absorbing the inclines in the terrain so that we don't have to actually follow the terrain. And we'll discuss more of that tomorrow. Continue Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zevakon Ben Sharon Rivka for Falzak Avram Ben Yakir Avigail Le'ilui Nishmas Harav Yaakov Ben Yosef. רבי חנן בן הקשי אמר הצגש ברוך וזעק וסלפיך אחר במתור המצו שנאמר נחפית למנפיקו יגדיל תורה וידיר